Accession number 30024, reel 12.
First of April to the... Oh, 10 months, I think, that's right, 10 months there. Then we were moved from there to Campo 53, which was, I can only say, mid-Italy, near Ancona, like, across... I can only go... there was no names for our camp as such, like, you know, Warminster or Westbury or, you know, East London or something like that. It wasn't like that. Of course, like here, names of places were few and far between in the war years, and you don't take them down. So I can only guess where it was really someone in the Ancona across the central Italy area.
What was the quality of life like?
Ah, a little rough. When we went to Campo 65, we had been given a bread ration that the Italian troops received, which was a few grams bigger, or a few grams more, put it that way, than what the civilian buns, because they're only little black bread buns, you know. Like our rolls, you know. And you had one of those once 24 hours. A half bowl of watery macaroni skilly. And a piece of little goat cheese about that, but like in a schoolboy's India rubber. And it wasn't a full cup of ersatz coffee. You had that once every 24 hours, that's all. Well, 9 months of that, you were in a pretty poor state. But we were warned by the medicals, don't lie down at night to sleep, or if you could, but keep walking, keep moving during the day. Well, that movement is very similar to my movement now with that. We hadn't got the strength. And life was pretty poor because it was 9 months before our food parcels started to come through with any regularity. And we get one between four sometimes, one between two. And if you got a whole one, you had to be very, very stringent to make it last 7 days. You get 5 days. And but to get, you had to be a little, you know, tighten your belt a bit to make it the extra 2 days for a week, you know, hoping that you'd get another supply in, you see.
What sort of things would you get in the parcels?
Wait a minute, if you don't mind. Oh. I should... Oh, yes, could you? Just in case, isn't it? They should have somewhere along the line what was in one. We had mostly English parcels, and some of them were Canadian parcels. Well, Canadian parcels were, we liked them because we had a different type of chocolate bar, and secondly, their biscuits, where we had meat biscuits again, they had more a sort of bigger biscuit. I'm sorry. they had a sort of biscuit which we could soak. And a few raisins, actually, make a sort of bread pudding. Whereas we couldn't do that with the meat biscuits out of an English parcel. Well, there's my list there. The compass. I should have somewhere. A Bruno Galt. Georgowitz Lebau. That's my old German lovely old man. There's my Italian vocabulary. I thought I'd have. There's all sorts here. Homemade calendar. Greek. Greek alphabet. No. I've got it somewhere. I'm sure I've got it. Oh, that's more Italian. Oh, don't tell me. Oh no, parade map reading. Oh god. I thought it was in here. Oh dear, I'm sorry. Anyway, I really thought I'd make, because some of us made lists sometime or other. Anyway, you get in an English parcel, you get a packet of these meat biscuits, a tin of bully beef, a tin of veg of some description, sometimes you've got egg powder. Did we get chocolate in there? Can't remember. No, we got chocolate in the Canadian. We have more than one tin of stuff. But we get bully, veg, biscuits. Oh, tea. You used to get a packet of tea. Sugar, margarine, oh dear, memory, come on, Bushel. Oh, gosh. Oh, sardines. That's it, and that was something. Canadian, you had these round biscuits which were more floury and which we rather liked because you could do more with them. A flat bar, piece of chocolate like that. But when you opened the carton carefully, you had something which, well, I know, the Italian, we let them have, he actually painted, used it as a canvas. But they, you got a small packet of raisins, chocolate raisins, oh dear. Oh, isn't that awful?
Were you ever aware of the...
I'm sorry, I can't. I'd have to have time for it, you know, to saw him in Toby Morty, sorry.
Were you ever aware of the guards and the camp personnel withholding the food parcels?
Ah, no. We've got no proof of that. We would... You see, another thing, too, it could be also hazardous, because troop trains, of course, but... trains would be bombed by our own people. I mean, the second transport from Tripoli to Sicily was torpedoed by our own navy, and 350 men were lost. It was one of those things. Well, of course, we had no idea. They could say, "Oh, yeah, the train was bombed." We wouldn't know any answer to that, you see, take their word. Where the Italians are concerned, there could be pilfering. Germans were very strict. If they were found to do anything like that, they were for the high jump, no messing. Give them their due for that. That was their own troops, they didn't do anything, you know. But the Italians were much more lax. That's the only thing that they could have. Even our food parcels that were sent from our own homes could be damaged. You wouldn't receive them. It's just one of those things if they were lucky enough to get through, you see. So that was the luck of the draw there. I can't say, I mean, I do know some of the parcels were lost in many ways because of enemy action, that's all. And you were lucky to get some through, you know. Yes, because some boys would get theirs, and you'd lose out because yours had gone from that, and you know.
When the Italian government capitulated, was there any hope that you'd be released?
No, they only knew where we were hemmed. We were in Campo 53 at the time, and during the day, everything went quiet, and the tannoid explained that when was the tannoid? Oh gosh. Anyway, we didn't know until it came through. It must have come through from the Italian side. Oh, like Italy's capitulated, and all the guards vanished. The whole camp was open, you see. Some of the laddies, hey, so they decided to take a walk. And because of the situation, Pat Beasley, the 10th Hussars champion, myself, said, oh no, we'll have a night's kip and go tomorrow. Oh yeah, that's an idea, you see. Well, tomorrow never came. What we didn't realise, although we got the nuisance and everybody had sort of vanished, the Germans were very, very close. Most of our doubt was the reason. And they came, moved in, like towards midnight. They came running in. And we were sleeping out under the stars because it was healthier and more comfortable and a nice balmy evening's like than in the pit we were sort of living in. And we just got the tannoid. All men, please return to your bungalows, you see, to your huts or to your sleeping quarters. Nobody to sleep outside. And yeah, what's going on here? I thought, we have taken the camp over and it's advisable for you to stay in your room. Like that. That was that. So as I say, tomorrow never came. But the tomorrow came for the other chaps that had taken the walk. They didn't get very far. They walked back into camp again. And they were under escort. They didn't get very far, you see. Well, we're just ignorant. We didn't know the Germans were so close. They just took over less than 24 hours. So that was us. And life was a bit different then. They didn't have as many guards on duty, but we had a greater respect for them than the umpteen guards that the Italians used to put around the camp, you see. And that's when we started to this is a different sort of situation. They were very clever. You've got to hand the Germans were very, absolutely different. We were louse-bound, we had bugs, and we were able to, at night time, we'd be in the dark, just a blanket over us, something to go like that. And you know, that's a bug. You'd have a blood smear on your chest next morning. Anything else? Yes. No, that was a louse. Yeah. I don't know. And anyway, when they moved us, that was very interesting because once they, I don't know how long we were on the train, went up over the Brenner Pass, I know that much. Because It was snow and ice and darn cold. And we were only in cattle trucks, you know. And I know we didn't get it, but the German guards, they were brewing a drink up off the engine itself with some way of getting the hot water to brew up. And they didn't consider us. You know. Anyway, that was that. And we got into the German transit camp. I don't know where it was and where it would be. And I don't think it was even a Stalag at that time. It was just a sort of transit. And we had to strip off in the open air. And we were all there standing in our birthday suits. And all our clothing and blokes that had perhaps a box with a bit of food in and stuff, boots and everything, leatherware, they went into this huge metal wardrobe. That's all I can say. And it was like a huge, you could imagine it's a big strong room in a camp. It came out of the wall, you know, and you hung there, everything is put in London, like that. And that vanished, like, closed up. But we had to go one way, couldn't go back. We went through this room, and it was just a series of showers. No, just a wall of, huge wall of water. And you're given a piece of ersatz soap, and you had to sort of, well, you was welcome, I can tell you. Oh boy, you're water. So we didn't mind that. But we could only go out the other way. When we went out the other way, we came into a larger room, and this huge fan, about 3 foot, but it was only going, it wasn't going very fast. And we stood in a semicircle around it. It did, like, the distance, what they told us. It said, no, it's all right. You will dry. You will dry. You won't catch cold. Because we were, where's the towel? No towel, you know, first of all. They said, no, you will dry. And you saw yourself drying off. And there's, yes, that was that. We could have still only gone our own way. Then was that was our surprise. And the only thing that I've never found out anywhere at all, but we went, had to go on our way out, and we went behind a screen then, and there were three orderlies, I think it was one nurse, three orderlies, they were in white, and they were waiting for us. And got one in each arm and one in the breast. And the one in the breast is the one I want to know what it was. I've never been find out. I've mentioned it to all and sundry here, and it's left them blank. No, what are you doing? So what that was, I wouldn't know.
How deep did it go?
Just like a normal jab in the arm.
Just into the skin?
Into the, since your
muscle.
Pectoral. Yeah. Which caught a lot of blokes out. Well, it was just so unexpected. I mean, oh yes, arms, yes, oh yes. Backside, yes. But not there, you know. Yes. So that was a surprise. But from then onwards, now, we all got out the other side, and it was identical to the way we went in. And this great big thing with all our clobber on was there waiting for us. We just sort of got dressed, remember? And from then onwards, until we met up with the Americans, we never saw a bug or a lice again.
Were your personal effects sterilised then?
Hmm?
Were all your kit sterilised?
Yes, food and all of that. Leather, because if you put a leather, they had sometime a primitive delouser. In which camp was it? I can't remember which camp it was. Folks put their army issues braces in, well, of course, with the leather button thing, and some boots as well. You should. He came out, the victim of me fell away in shreds, you know, and they were just ruined. So they had to be shod, and all they had was the Italians gave them sandals to wear for the time, you know. And they were unlucky. But this was never, the food wasn't damaged, nothing. It was just as you put them in, except there was no lice in the seams of your trousers and your under your arms and things like that, you know. Yes, marvellous. So whether it was gas or what, I don't know. But that was our cleaning sort of situation of entering German, so German area. And as I said, we didn't meet up with bugs or lice until we stopped at this camp, this American camp, when we were walking. And we were there a few short time. I will admit I had glucose needles there because I apparently had malnutrition. I'm a bit queer. I don't know what who the MO was or what the MO was, because he wasn't, he was a foreigner of some description. He could have been Polish, I wouldn't know. But I had these, I can think of them now. I had these needles in my arms, and my arms weren't, I mean, they're not very fat now, but they were, I don't think they were quite as fat as what they were. And they were, I still remember them. My other needles, no. I can have them by the dozen and think nothing of them. But those hurt, yeah. But nevertheless, I'm still alive, so why worry? Yeah. But that was the cleanliness of... and then in Kleinschenau, now, on the building site there, typhus broke out, because they had a lot of Ukrainian prisoners and civilian workers and peasants and all that lot. And typhus broke out, and two men died. And like a shot, everything stopped. And everybody was getting medically examined and getting needles and not whatnot. The English contingent was still carrying on. So we turned around and said, look here, if there's needles going for that sort of thing, we're entitled to them. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, yes. Oh, no. He says, you're like us. You're English. You keep yourselves clean. You have nothing to worry about. And the chap here in charge of us, he was like a puppy with two tails. He's English prisoners, you know. Oh, you know, feel clear. Feel my... Oh, what, sauber, yeah. Feel sauber. Very clean, you know, keep themselves clean. Well, we did. We just carried on as we were, you see. We were clean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we come in, and although we come up enough a day's work, and the first thing we did was get cracking and washing up, you know. Then calling the day our own if we were lucky. So...
how did people feel about doing work?
We had no option, and we didn't like it, and we like that again. It's hard to explain. Our duty was to be as awkward as possible. French prisoners were allowed parole, so they got soft jobs out in that town and all that lot. You know, errand boys and butcher's assistants and all that lot. The British, they were under surveillance more or less all the time, because there were always some sort of trouble somewhere or argument or something. But nevertheless, I mean, we were like, you know, we weren't in a strong position really to except be awkward. And that's how, because we used to turn around and say, hey, wait a minute, this is war work. Oh, no. No, no, you're comrades like us. We're comrades, you know, military with people. Comrades, you said. No. You know, it's all good. Not likely. As, oh, no, the Führer. No, yeah, it's not the Führer. And, of course, they used to greet each other. Not good morning, or, you know, guten Tag, you know, Heil Hitler, you see. Of course, we thought, I'll Churchill. And get quite upset, you know. Maybe that's all we could do, was take the sort of the Michael, you know, sort of.
Was there any sense, though, that working helped ease the monotony?
Ah, yes. I think in a way, being brought from Italy where we didn't work, and we were at our own devices of how we passed the day away. I think that, like, psychologically went against us, because, we don't mind digging this, we don't mind doing that, or doing like that. I think that was something perhaps we didn't realise, but that's how we, it was different than what we weren't layabouts, we were doing something. And, of course, as I said, I was on this concreting gang. I'll lay a concrete path for you, which will last for evermore. The only thing was, of course, time went on. For instance, Pensum Arbeit, which is the equivalent to our shift work. And they said, if you do so many bays of concrete, what they called bays, they were 5 meter squares at a time. And you had so many of those, you could have the rest of the day off. Didn't mean to say we could go back to barracks sort of style and, you know, put our feet up. Oh, we could have time off, but we'd have to stay on the site, you see. So we played our cards the wrong way. So we said that, okay, so we had a breather. But the crafty people, they knew, they pulled like, they sort of called our bluff, really. And they ruled, that's funny, they ended up, they were getting more work than what we were sort of anticipating, you know. But nevertheless, after that, that fell by the wayside, but we just did what job we could. I know I was in trouble with a group of other blokes. We used to have to unload pack trains of cement. Well, the paper sacks of the cement powder wasn't like our paper sacks. They were a bit weaker. And pack train had come in. We'd have these trucks of cement to unload, put in store. Well, of course, the guard was only at the door of the store. If he just, well, he did rumble it. That's why we were put under arrest. But we were supposed to be storing it in the stack room. Well, of course, we'd handle the bag so much that they'd rip. So what happens? It was just a mountain of loose cement powder, dry cement. And we'd have the same colour as the cement, you know. And we'd be having a fun, he's running up, you know, like, here. Anyway, the guard that was on duty at the time, he rumbled and he put us all under arrest. And we were taken out and called a Feldwebel of the camp. And they said, oh, blimey, you know. And they took us out of the camp. And, you know, hell's bells, you see. And they took us quite a little way into an open field. And, what's going to happen now? The guards that has escorted us stood behind us. And whether it was effect or not, you heard the rifles click, you know. And the Feldwebel in front of you. And he says, if you don't understand, you get somebody to explain to you, you see. But he told us, strip off. And he was waving it like that. Oh, you don't do the tricks, you know, one thing or another. By the time he'd finished, we were sort of, thank goodness that's over, you know, because we had visions of getting shot in the back, you see, you know, that sort of thing. So that was pure sabotage. You know? Anyway, we got away with this very, very, very severe wigging. After that, the next time,